are back on the BBP. I'm Lindsay Patterson, joined by the Cincinnati Enquirer beat writer Tyler Dragon and our man behind the scenes, producer, photographer. You'll see him out there on the sidelines at Paul Brown Stadium this coming Sunday. Kareem Elgazar, good to see you guys.
What's up? How you doing today?
It's good to be back.
It's good to be back. Kareem is joining us. He's back there dialing it all up. How you doing, man?
Well, not bad. You know, it's been a pretty hectic last couple of weeks here, but it's good to be finally, you know. Sam went out to Seattle for the first game, my colleague Sam, so looking forward to getting on the sideline this weekend.
The married man, Kareem.
Yeah, that's right.
Kareem is back in action. Again, he will be on the sidelines with Sam Green. You're going to want to check out their gallery after the Bengals-San Francisco game. But let's go ahead and talk about that right now. I want to back it up to what A.J. Green said, because A.J. Green was talking to us on Wednesday. He was by his locker, and I thought, this man's going to jet when we start walking over there. But I noticed something. He didn't have his boot on him, Tyler.
Yeah, he talked for the first time since training camp, really, and it was because he took the next step in his recovery phase, getting that boot off like you alluded to. He ran for the first time on Tuesday, and he's doing some light work. He said he has no pain in his left foot and ankle, so that is a good sign for A.J. Green and the Bengals. I have week four circle for A.J. Green that Monday night in Pittsburgh. He says he's ahead of schedule for a normal person. So it's going to be interesting to see how he continues to progress. This is a big step for him to have that boot off his left foot. And let's see if he continues moving forward. I know everybody has their fingers crossed for no setbacks, and I don't envision that ahead.
He joked a little bit because he does get that extra day. If he does make it back for week four, getting that Monday night football game versus Pittsburgh, of course, he'd like to be back out there. Kareem, this is really no surprise because AJ told us yesterday he's back working. People don't always see that. We don't get to see all the practices, all the walkthroughs for the Bengals right now. AJ Green is out there running on off days. On his Tuesday off day, he's back out there, boots off, feeling good for about 10 to 15 minutes. He said he's working out 7 days a week, 7 to 8 hours, just trying his best to get back on the field. None of that surprising with how hard this guy's worked through rehab.
Well, Andy Dalton called it, right? He called him Wolverine. You know, and the way he prepares for the game and prepare for his work. I don't think this is too much of a surprise that he's on track or ahead of schedule. As Tyler alluded, we've been talking about, you know, that circling that week four at Monday night, and it looks like he's trending that way.
Yeah, and A.J. Green also talked about the offense. One thing, he was on the sidelines for Seattle. He did travel with the team, and I think that's great because you have younger guys out there on the field, Damon Willis, even John Ross coming back, and Tyler Boyd. To have A.J. Green on the sidelines is something. But one thing that A.J. Green talked about was watching Zach Taylor. When you're in a game, when you're active in the game and you're out there playing, you really don't get to see what the head coach is doing, all the moves and everything he's making on his computer. And he said, he goes, that guy was going crazy. All his in-game adjustments, and we know with past Bengals teams, in-game adjustments, they rarely happen or we rarely see them out there, but Zach Taylor's just dialing it up out there. A.J. Green even said, I think I could play for 8 more years under this guy.
Yeah, even in a loss, it was a positive debut for Zach Taylor. I mean, if you're starting quarterback passes for a career high in yards on your very first game, that's a good sign. And like I said, even in a loss, there are positive things to take away from that game on both sides of the football.
And I actually want to play this clip right here because A.J. Green did talk to the media for about 13 minutes in the locker room. First time talking since injuring in that first training camp day in Dayton. And he said where he sees this 2019 offense. He feels like it's the most complete.
Being here for 9 years, you know, Andy and I just going through these different, you know, coaching staff and all that stuff like that. Just, I feel like this is the best, you know, complete offense that we had in a while with, you know, the balance of the line, the balance with John and TV and those different guys, and having Ivan and CJ and all the weapons we have at tight end and the way the defense is playing. And I feel like this team is only going to get better week by week.
And Kareem, Carlos Dunlap was actually around the locker room yesterday, and he was talking to some of the different guys, and he brought one question up to A.J. Green. He said, could you see three receivers on this team, Tyler Boyd, John Ross, and yourself, 1,000 yards Is that too much to ask with this offense right now?
I mean, no one expected Andy Dalton to throw 50 plus times on the first week, you know, and so if they keep that up, yeah, sure, why not? But I do think they're going to try to balance that out a little bit more going forward. I don't see 3 1,000-yard receivers. That's a lot. That's incredible. But if Andy Dalton throws 50-plus times a game, I mean, who knows?
Yeah, I don't see it either. Definitely see 2,000-yard receivers, but you want to have a more balanced offense. Not to be a devil's advocate, be on the negative side, but the Bengals – do want to get the running game going. The running game has been non-existent through 4 preseason games and the regular season, the first game. So you want to have a better running attack, especially when you have a running back the caliber of Joe Mixon and Gio back there. You want to get them touches and have a more diverse offense.
I think diverse is one thing, because you look on the road in Seattle and just spreading the ball all around. And yeah, Tyler Eifert only 27 yards, couldn't get the run game going, so they want other options. They did go to John Ross. We've already talked about this. After drops, he finds his way into the end zone. I think it is going to be interesting when you do get AJ Green out there. Again, he's the number one receiver. Everybody knows that, one of the best in the NFL. But having him out there, a guy like John Ross down the field, and Tyler Boyd, the guy who had himself a season in 2018, and AJ Green talked a little bit more about that. He's never seen anything like what Zach Taylor's bringing to the offense.
One thing about Zach's offense, man, is like I probably can play another 8 years if I stay here. just like going from playing 80 plays a game to playing 40 and 50, and I'm like, all right, that's cool with me. So he just mixes up a lot of things, man. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable how he, you know, how smart he is, the way he conducts on offensive meetings. Never seen it before. How he makes in-game adjustments, like during halftime and during the game. He's on his little iPad, just going crazy. Like, it's fun to watch. Just being on the sideline to watch him work. It's unbelievable on a game day, so I'm very excited.
And we're going to stick a little bit with AJ Green, because a guy who finally talks after being pretty quiet for about a little over a month and through preseason, he had like the biggest smile on his face, a guy who's ready to get back out there. And as he mentioned, I'm ahead of schedule, but there's no timeline. And I know that sounds a little confusing, because Zach Taylor said they're still shooting for that week 3, week 4. They feel like they're on track, but seeing him out of the boot is really good right now for this offense. I think it's smart not to rush him back, but he didn't really feel like, you know, the Bengals are going to, you know, take it easy on him when he does return.
Yeah, this is a big season for AJ. You know, this is the final year of his contract. He wants to be paid like one of those top tier receivers. So it's essentially a prove it year that he is still top 5, top 8 receivers in the National Football League. You know, you've seen Julio Jones get paid. You see Odell Beckham get paid. You've seen a lot of receivers around the league. Amari Cooper's coming up. So AJ is right there. AJ wants to get paid like, you know, Michael Thomas of the Saints. He wants to be mentioned with those receivers that have got those lucrative contracts. And I know he's 31 years old, and people are talking about, well, you know, he's battled injuries two of the last 3 years, and, you know, he's not been consistently on the field. But in my opinion, he is still in his prime. It might be the latter portion of his prime, but he is still in his prime. And when he gets back on the field, you will see, because I definitely saw, you know, that first day of training camp. It was a small sample size, but I definitely saw the AJ Green of old, with his explosiveness, him getting in and out of his breaks, and just that speed. It was there the very first day, until unfortunately he went down with an ankle injury.
And Zach Taylor actually brought up a quote yesterday, Kareem, and he says, you know, we're trying to create that buzz, and we have to bring that. That's really not the fans' job to create it. I think after just seeing that Seattle game, fans didn't expect that to fall by one on the road. And it does create buzz as they return home for the home opener.
Absolutely. And I think you mentioned earlier, you know, if they're when AJ Green comes back, how much they're going to run him, how much they're going to put him out there. They're going to put him out there a lot. Not only because, you know, they need to win games, but he's their star receiver. And this is, you know, Zach Taylor's first season, and he wants to win ball games. And then that also creates that buzz, you know, for the fan base and for the stadium and the atmosphere there. So I fully expect once A.J. Green is healthy, and I think they're not going to rush him back, but once he's back and playing, we're going to see a lot of A.J. Green, just like we've seen in the last several years, Andy Dalton kind of pushing it toward him, and we expect to see great things from him.
We talked about Andy Dalton, 418 yards on Sunday in the opener on the road versus Seattle. And Zach Taylor talked about the offense. He said they're having fun because they're confident. He's like, but we're going to have a lot more fun when we start winning. What are we going to see, Tyler?
Yeah, you got to win games. I know they were talking about, you know, moral victories. You've heard that word a lot following week one, but you need to come out with wins at the end of the day. That's what it is all about. And against San Francisco, they're not as good as the Seattle Seahawks. So I'm expecting the Bengals to go out there and impose their will, especially that defensive line, the strongest position group on the team. I know they set the tone. Carlos Dunlap said it as though. So I want to see that defensive line set the tone. I want to see that offense continuing to improve. The running game is very important, and they have not been able to run the football. And then also, you got to have better red zone efficiency. You can't go 0-3 in the red zone like they did in Seattle and expect to win football games. And then another one, the turnover battle. San Francisco is a very good team at taking the football away. They had a league-leading 4 turnovers last week in Tampa Bay, and you know, you're not going to win football games if you lose a turnover battle. So those are some of the things that I'm going to watch for this weekend.
And just hitting on that versus the 49ers, Kareem, Tyler Eifert again, 27 yards Seattle. They used him out there. He was a blocking tight end. Red zone, man, 0-3. What are we going to expect from him? What should we see from Tyler Eifert in the red zone this coming Sunday at home?
Well, I think we're actually going to see more of the same in that, not necessarily obviously more yards, hopefully, but they used him wisely. They put him in positions where they needed a first down, or they don't overwork him so they don't, you know, keep him healthy. I think we're going to see a lot of the same game plan for Tyler Eifert. Obviously, in the red zone, that's kind of his specialty. That's where they really, really need him. But definitely on third downs, when they need that to move the chains, they're going to put Tyler Eifert in the game just like they did in Seattle. I think this Bengals offense can do some damage against this San Francisco defense. Mm-hmm. They are really good at taking the ball away in San Francisco. But overall, I think it's a mediocre defense, particularly if they can get the running game going. Obviously, that's based on Joe Mixon's health, and I'm sure we'll get to that in a little bit. But, you know, I think the Bengals offense, based on what we saw from Seattle, I didn't expect that Bengals offense in Seattle at all. So I think knowing what we know of the 49ers, I think the Bengals can do some damage against this defense.
Yeah, the 49ers defense, their strength is their defensive line. They spend a lot of draft capital on that side of the football and that line. If the offensive line for the Bengals is able to contain them and perform at okay like they did in Seattle, then the Bengals should be in good shape, because the 49ers offensively, they leave a lot to be desired.
Right.
I'm not a big believer in Jimmy Garoppolo. To make matters worse for San Francisco, they're going to be without their starting running back, Tevin Coleman. So, I mean, basically their best player on offense is their tight end, George Kittle. And then, I mean, receiver-wise, they don't really have a lot. I mean, Marquise Goodwin, he's okay. I kind of like him because he's a track guy. but other than that, I mean, they don't really have a lot of offensive weapons. So I don't expect a high-scoring game for the 49ers. They pretty much scored a lot of their points on defense last week. They had 2 pick sixes. So if the Bengals can't control the turnover battle and not – have a lot of takeaways, not a lot of interceptions or fumbles like they had a week ago in Seattle, they should be in good shape.
So the biggest battle out there could be the battle between defensive lines for each side right now.
Yeah, I like how you teed that up. That's on my 3 keys to the week, so shameless plug there. The defensive line is going to be interesting and one to watch for on both sides of the football. The Bengals defensive line, we all know, Carlos Dunlap, Geno Atkins, Sam Hubbard with
10
a good game. They are the strength of Cincinnati. And then on the other side, you know, with San Francisco, they have a very talented defensive line as well. Eric Armstead, DeForest Buckner, D Ford, Nick Bosa. I mean, those are first round picks right there for a reason, and they are very good at what they do. Nick Bosa had a pretty good debut as a rookie, so it's going to be a good battle and a good test for the Bengals O-line, just like they did in Seattle. But this time, the 49ers defensive line is better than Seattle's. I mean, Seattle had Jadeveon Clowney and, you know, a couple other pieces, but San Francisco's defensive line across the board, they are deep and they are talented.
I think one thing, you had mentioned the turnover battle. When you look at San Francisco in week one, they did have a couple pick sixes. Credit to Andy Dalton, though, Kareem. I think in the past couple of years, he's been really smart at, like, hey, if the playmaker's not there, the guy's not there, I'm just going to throw it out of bounds.
You know, Andy Dalton's really, really good when he has, well, any professional quarterback should, but Andy Dalton's really good when he has just a little bit of time, when he's protected, and he's really good at finding the open person and making good decisions when he's not under tremendous pressure. He can take pressure okay, but when he's under tremendous pressure, that's when, you know, that's when things
fall off.
Yeah, exactly. But when he has some time, it doesn't have to be, you know, an eternity back there. But when he has some time, he's shown the ability to make the good decisions to good receivers, to open receivers, but also, like you said, throw it out of bounds and not throw the interception. But when they bring pressure, and that's the thing, you know, we're going to see what this 49ers defensive front can bring in terms of pressure. If they pressure Andy Dalton, could be a long day.
I think one thing that struggled, and everybody saw it in Seattle, and yeah, they did lose Joe Mixon early in that game, is they couldn't get that run game going. Joe Mixon currently day-to-day. What are the chances we could see him out there on Sunday?
Now, I'm not 100% sure, but I do have a hunch that Joe Mixon will be able to play. I talked to him yesterday and asked him about his injured ankle, and he told me it feels cool and is getting better each and every day. He was out at practice on Wednesday. He did not practice, but he was out there cheering on his teammates. And I saw him, you know, kind of joking around with some of the coaches and his teammates. So that tells me that his ankle is feeling better, and it's he's on pace to play. I don't think they're too concerned about his ankle injury, and I would be a little surprised if he did not play on Sunday.
But one guy who probably will be sitting out week two again, we haven't really seen much from him since the concussion protocol in preseason, Cordy Glenn, still day-to-day is what we're hearing, but he wasn't at practice.
Yeah, it's looking real dicey with Cordy Glenn. If he is not out there today, we're recording this Thursday morning. If he's not out there, then I don't envision him playing on week two. He's missed a lot of time, missed a lot of practices. And even if he does come back at practice, you know, you haven't played a game since the second preseason game. And just to throw him out there against an NFL caliber starting defensive line, that's putting him in a bad spot. I don't care how long he's been playing and how long, you know, he's been starting at left tackle. You just can't put somebody in that position if he's been in concussion protocol and hasn't practiced, hasn't gotten those reps. And, I mean, he's out of football shape. So I don't believe Cordy Glenn is going to play this week again. Maybe week three, though. It all depends. You know, you really want to be careful when somebody is in concussion protocol. We all have heard, you know, and know the effects from concussions and what they can do to you down the road. So the Bengals want to treat this situation delicately, and they are.
All right, Kareem, everybody loves predictions. The Bengals falling 21-20 on the road to Seattle, but they're home sweet home against the San Francisco 49ers. What are we going to see? What is that final score?
Well, I was pleasantly surprised by the offense, and as we discussed, the 49ers defense is beatable. I like the Bengals 27-17. I think they score some points and limit the 49ers offense. I mean, they lost. They don't have Tevin Coleman this week, the 49ers. That's their starting running back. Breida's really good, but they don't really have much depth behind him. They have Raheem Mostert, I believe, backing up Breida. Jimmy Garoppolo, I'm not too sold on him, and I think to put it mildly, and I think the Bengals defensive front really gets after him. So 27-17, Bengals win.
You gave Matt Breida a good shout out, really good.
I think well, he's a little he's injury prone, but I think he's pretty good.
Ooh, okay, you said pretty good. I thought you said really good.
No. I said really good, and he is really good.
Oh man,
he's backing it up.
Oh my goodness, I wouldn't go that far now. My prediction: I believe the Bengals get their first win of the season in their home debut. I'm going with 24-17. I think the Bengals have a lot of matchups that they can take advantage of on offense and on defense. I think they will protect the football, win the turnover battle. And like Kareem said, and like I said earlier, San Francisco's offense, they're not really that good. And they're going to miss Tevin Coleman. And as long as the Bengals keep an eye on George Kittle, I think they will be fine defensively, and the Bengals have the safeties to do so. So, yes.
One thing in the past, though, I'll tell you right now, they have struggled with covering tight ends, but it will be interesting. Mm-hmm. I do think the Bengals get their dub at home. I think confidence, like I said, is a crazy drug, but I think we'll actually see more from Tyler Boyd in the red zone. They're going to fix the issues there. Tyler Eifert will land in the end zone there, and defensively they're only going to keep getting better. That defensive front right now versus the O-line for San Francisco, I'm going to say score line of 27-13.
Okay. Oh, you have a blowout.
Oh, you hear my score from last week? I was pretty off. I'm not going to lie. I thought that was going to be a double score loss on the road, but they did surprise a lot of fans. I think they're only going to get better defensively and offensively. More playmakers out there. And Zach Taylor, man, that guy's just dialing it up on the sideline. So I'm interested what he can do with the offense and the different playmakers out there, even without AJ Green.
Yeah, well, I'm going to say if the Bengals lose this week, I'm going to have a lot to say next week.
A lot of people will have a lot to say out there on social media and in the stands. All right, now we're going to get a look from San Francisco beat writer from San Jose Mercury News, Cam Inman.
So, Cam, as you know, it's a big matchup for both teams. San Francisco got a win last week. The Bengals are still searching for their first win of the season. And I understand you stayed on pretty much this side of the country, and the 49ers did as well.
Yeah, we're up in Youngstown, Ohio this week. It's the 49ers flew right after their win in Tampa up here, and the reason they stay in Youngstown, other than, you know, to get ready for to stay out and play against the Bengals, is the 49ers ownership has ties to Youngstown, and it goes back to the Bilardo family, which I bought the 49ers about 40 years ago, and the York family that also now owns them. So they came to Youngstown in 2011 and 2012 between road games for like a week layover, and they were successful on both of those accounts. And so far they're 1-0 on this road trip, and things are working out the way they want them to.
Oh, okay. So they feel like they got good luck if they stay in Youngstown, huh?
Yeah, they got good karma. The last time they did this, they went to the Super Bowl, right? So it's all going to happen right again.
Oh. Like Okay. So as for Sunday, I don't expect running back Tevin Coleman to play. Am I accurate with that assessment?
Correct. He's probably going to be out, I would think, through. The 49ers have a bye in week four, so I would imagine they'll keep him out for the next couple games here and let him get back to health. I think the bigger question, I guess, injury-wise with 49ers, is Coleman's got a high ankle sprain, and that's what Nick Bosa has. And Bosa was out basically for 3 weeks, but he was able to come back and make his debut against Tampa. He didn't practice on Wednesday with the 49ers, so that's kind of the bigger injury that we're looking at right now with that.
Now, do you expect Nick Bosa to play?
I don't know. It's one of those things where we got to see how the week goes. I would imagine on Friday he'll be listed as questionable 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming he can practice somewhat limited, maybe later in the week. It's just, do they really need to push him? Or it depends how sore he is. He played about half the game in Tampa,
mm-hmm.
and he was limping around there at the end of the game. he had an impactful game. He's a very talented player, obviously. A lot of people in Ohio know that, having watched Ohio State. Not as much last year, since he didn't play much last year for him, but he was doing really, really well in training camp before he got hurt. And you saw in the opener at Tampa, he had a sack. He almost sacked Jameis Winston one or two more times. It's having his addition to the defense really helps out a lot. They got a couple other new guys on defense, too. So That's why I think people are kind of not really sure what to expect of the 49ers defensively. But if Bosa is in there, that really helps out a lot.
Yeah, that's interesting because, as you said, I thought he had a pretty good rookie debut. He got after the quarterback and made an impact in his very first game. So whether if he does not play, which would surprise me, and obviously Coleman isn't playing, how does that affect the 49ers as a whole offensively and defensively?
Yeah, so let's go to Coleman. Mm-hmm. And he was a starting running back. He came in from the Falcons this year after he had been under Kyle Shanahan with Atlanta, and he came in almost as an insurance policy, figuring they might not be able to get Jerick McKinnon, get his knee up to full health. McKinnon, you know, he came in a year ago in free agency, hurt his knee a week before the season started, so he missed all last season. He got ruled out for this season about a week before the season started, so that made sure that, okay, well, they got Coleman in place to start, and sure enough, he was the running back for the first two series, even though he got hurt, I guess, on the first play. Tried battling through and was ruled out at halftime. So what they have now is basically they have Matt Breida, who should be the starter. And Breida was probably on pace for a 1,000-yard rushing season last year, but he himself had an ankle injury that he tried playing through. He's healthy now, so I'd expect Breida to get a good bunch of the workload. Raheem Mostert's another running back that's emerged over the last year who's benefited from the 49ers injuries. This guy is a special teams ace, but he's also shown he can be a capable running back, and he's really, really fast. Breida's really quick, too, so they got speedy running back. They'll probably elevate Jeff Wilson Jr. from the practice squad, which they had to do last year among the injuries, and Wilson, he probably won't come up until Saturday when they have to make the transaction. You know, a lot of 49er fans are wondering, oh, are they going to trade for Melvin Gordon with the Chargers? They have so much money invested in running backs. I can't see them doing it unless, say, Breida or Mostert get hurt and they're undermanned. So that's where they're at with running backs. If Bosa can't go, they rotate. They had nine defensive linemen out for the Bucs. And part of that, obviously, was really the heat and humidity in Tampa to make sure guys stay fresh. If he can't go, they can suit up eight. They'll be fine. And they will rotate in and out because the main guys on that defensive line, Bosa, he is part of the main one, but he's kind of like a fifth man. The main people they have are DeForest Buckner, defensive tackle. Eric Armstead, he kind of plays the big end position, or he plays on the edge. Big end was last year, but he's kind of the run stopper. He and Bosa kind of are similar in that spot. So Eric Armstead would probably fill in there, be the starter. Solomon Thomas is a guy they drafted number three overall a couple of years ago. He barely played against Tampa. He just hasn't developed that well. And then their edge rusher that they brought in from Kansas City this year, Dee Ford, he got after Winston, got a sack, helped pressure, leads to two pick sixes. So it's really an opposing front. I mean, they have five first-rounders, and that includes Bosa. But not all first-rounders always pan out. But these guys, they've come into the season saying it's on them to make a difference defensively, and it showed in week one.
Yeah, that I was laughing because my co-host Kareem, he's a real Matt Breida guy. He called him really good, Kareem. You want to get hit on that?
You know, Breida, I mean, he's an undrafted kid from Georgia Southern. Came in and won a spot as a rookie. He's got a great work ethic. He's just smaller, right? And so he's not the power back, but you know he's got a. If they give him 20 carries, they'll win the game. I mean, obviously, that's how a lot of the NFL games go, but he's no slouch.
Well, that's what I was thinking because watching kind of tape and film on him, you know, the last couple of season, he's really pretty quick. He's got quick feet, and he's fast. He's among the fastest, I think, players in the league in terms of being, clocked in terms of his speed. But also, He also has, like, a one-cut ability. Is that right?
He does. I mean, he really looks – he can get going really fast. And I think the biggest question with Matt Breida, in his first season, I would say, because he kind of answered this a little bit last year, was whether he could catch the ball in the backfield. He had a lot of drops as a rookie, and then he's got a lot better at it. And that's Kyle Shanahan's offense is predicated on spreading the ball around, and that includes getting the ball to the backs in the backfield, especially when you have a quarterback who's still just kind of getting his feet wet after missing a year and not really standing in there to take deep shots down the field. They had a really conservative game plan against Tampa, kind of don't screw up, let the Bucs screw up, and let's steal a win and get out of here. So it'll be interesting if they kind of feel the same way going in the second week. But, you know, back to the running back, you know, Breida, he can catch the ball in the backfield. Mostert's got a little bit, I think he might have some ball security issues that people are a little bit more concerned about. Hmm. That's why he doesn't get as much of a look, but he's even faster.
Cam Inman joining us right now, San Jose Mercury News. It's Lindsay Patterson. And one thing we saw in week one was the secondary having a pick six party. Andy Dalton is one of those quarterbacks who has that early release, and his offensive line that has been a concern in Cincinnati for a while, and they might be without left tackle Cordy Glenn. What should we expect from that secondary on Sunday?
Yeah, they did have a pick six play. The 49ers had zero interceptions from their cornerback crew last year. They had only two interceptions as a team. NFL record. They only had seven takeaways last year as a team, and they came out of Tampa with four. So all of a sudden they're going, holy cow, we can get them now. We can get them in bunches. And I think everybody knows, so they have Richard Sherman on one side, and Sherman's playing left cornerback like he did in Seattle. He didn't have a pick last year, but he wasn't thrown that much. Because opponents, like Andy Dalton will try on Sunday, is that they'll try to attack number 23, Akella Witherspoon. He struggled in his second season last year, got benched a couple times, became a popular target for quarterbacks. Well, Witherspoon finished up the season opener with a pick six, courtesy of the 49ers pass rush, forcing Winston just to kind of pop one out there. So he's got all the confidence in the world now. He actually had a really good game shutting down Mike Evans last week. So they've got the cornerbacks that are working. The safety situation is a little perilous because Jimmy Ward was supposed to be their starting free safety. This guy's battled injuries for five seasons in the NFL. Sure enough, he broke a finger last week, and he's probably not going to play this game either. He's practicing with a cast on the hand this week, but in his place they put Tavarius Moore, a guy that they tried moving to cornerback last year, but they put him at free safety. He's really fast. Had a couple real nice plays last week in the opener. Had a pass breakup and fourth down at the goal line that he probably should have had a pick six on. But they like him a lot. He's a lot of speed. He's not known for his tackling ability. He's known for his speed. And what the 49ers counted on this year to help out that secondary, because it's almost all the same guys from last year, is a better pass rush. And so they brought in some better pass rushers. The only cornerback they added was Jason Rett, who was a Pro Bowler early in his Chargers career, before he got hurt. And sure enough, he sprained an ankle a month ago with the Niners. He might be able to make a go and make his debut with the 49ers this Sunday if they need some extra depth at corner. If your guy Andy Dalton's ready to torch a secondary like he did against the Seahawks.
You said Andy Dalton. I'm going to go to your quarterback right now, Jimmy Garoppolo, coming off that injury from last year. He was getting criticized after that week one performance. What are we going to expect to see from him on Sunday?
Well, nobody knows what to expect from Jimmy really this year. He had such an amazing debut with the 49ers, going 5-0 in 2017 in December once he became the starter after the Patriots traded him. Started out a little shaky last year, and he was lost, you know, in week three at Kansas City. And then he's come back, and he hasn't looked just pinpoint sharp. He missed several throws he should have had in Tampa. They were a little late, or maybe a little high. That's kind of what he's been doing with his passes. Does not have the greatest receiving core, but, you know, the knee seems fine. There's been no setbacks. He had a 20-yard scramble in the game that got called back for the penalty, but just watch him kind of go. He doesn't look as nimble, but so there's questions on how he feels in the pocket. How long is it going to take him to get that comfort level? I think everybody understands, look, you've been out for a year. You had you had your ACL replaced, so you're kind of relearning everything in the pocket again. And he's their unquestioned leader, but it's the 49ers, and this franchise revolves around quarterback drama. And so Jimmy Garoppolo is kind of still kind of just struggling through his growing pains, as the season goes along. Niner fans are going to go, well, what about the backup? Is Nick Mullins ready? it's not Nick Mullins. Jimmy Garoppolo is this team's future for at least the next 2 years. Winning a game on the road in Tampa, that looks good on the resume, especially when a team went 0-8 last year on the road.
So before I get you out of here, you got to have a prediction for this weekend. What do you think is going to happen? What's your score prediction?
My score prediction for the 49ers and Cincinnati Bengals. Well, let's see. I did post something today on the opportunities.com site. I got the game going in 49ers 24, Bengals 20. It's going to be the 49ers going back-to-back road wins, and it's the first time they've done that. It's been 2-0 since 2012, which is also the last time they stayed in Youngstown.
Okay. So coincidentally, maybe not so much, we all predicted the Bengals to get their first victory, and you're picking the 49ers. So
I mean, the Bengals, they're playing a team that went 4-12 last year. They're the home opener. If the Bengals are doing anything, they better come out and win this game. The 49er franchise is going to feel like they have cabin fever being locked up here at a Holiday Inn in Youngstown for a week. They've got a chance.
Good deal, good deal. Well, thanks for joining us here today, and have fun in Youngstown, and safe travels to Cincinnati.
Okay, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks to Cam Inman from San Jose Mercury News for joining us this week on the BBP Extra. Again, we'll have this every week and a prediction video up on Cincinnati.com, but what is up there right now, Tyler?
So I have three keys to the game, and I pretty much alluded to them this podcast, but I kind of break it down on the website. I also have a story on Carl Lawson, how he feels coming off his first game back since his ACL tear. And later on in the week, you just have to keep it locked on Cincinnati.com. There are more stories to come.
It's a home game, so we're going to have plenty up there on the Cincinnati Enquirer site. Again, Kareem Elgazar behind producing, directing this podcast today. Sam Green will join him on the sidelines. We'll have a photo gallery after the Bengals take on the San Francisco 49ers. And we'll have a walkout podcast, too. You're going to want to hear that. Stay tuned. Cincinnati Enquirer on Twitter, ENQ Sports, over on the Instagram, ENQ Bengals. Thanks for listening to another edition.